had a car tested with the emissions before I tried it, and I was, you know, it was putting out like over 1,000 parts per million of just hydrocarbon. And I changed the oil and put in one liquid ring, and 200 miles later, the engine was only putting out about half that amount of hydrocarbon.
For more information on liquid ring or to place your order, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245. Liquid Ring is now available through the American Freedom Radio Network.
Dan here at the American Freedom Network, and this morning we're going to be talking about what's going on over there in Lebanon, because I think everyone is concerned about it, but I would like to suggest that nothing is as it appears to be. Now, certainly we're told that the reason that Israel attacked Lebanon was because two or three of their soldiers had been kidnapped, and as a result they launched this attack on Lebanon to get the Hezbollah. And, but does anybody really believe that's true? I mean, so like the Gulf of Tonkin incident, we had to have an excuse to go to war. It's like we had to have an excuse to attack Afghanistan. We had to catch the wicked Osama bin Laden, but that was not why we went, because we never tried to catch him. Well, I would like to suggest what we're seeing in the Near East today is something entirely different than the American people are being told. And, of course, Israel is totally dependent upon the United States, and we are supplying the laser and the satellite-guided bombs that are being used to devastate southern Lebanon. And the attitude is anybody who's still there, anybody who hasn't left their home and become a refugee is obviously a terrorist. And as a result, a lot of innocent people are getting killed. And the trouble is, I mean, should we be on Israel's side? We should be on Hezbollah's side. Both sides are being manipulated. The Israeli people are being manipulated. The people of in southern Lebanon are being manipulated. Even Hezbollah, which is being financed and supplied by Iran, is being manipulated, because everybody's forgotten that it was back in 1979 when the American CIA brought the wicked Ayatollah Khomeini to power, but then we also financed the wicked Saddam Hussein, and we financed the wicked Osama bin Laden all during the 1980s. Nothing is as it appears to be. And with that as a background, I wanted to bring on Dr. Joe Douglas. And Joe has been lived back in Washington, D.C. for many times, has worked certainly in intelligence and other branches of government, and has a vast knowledge of what's really going on. We carry his book, Betrayed, which is the story of what really happened to the Americans. We abandoned, your government abandoned, intentionally and purposely, in both North Vietnam and Laos, and of course similarly in Korea and the Second World War. He has a wonderful book on red cocaine, which we don't carry, but which is still available, going into the communist production of heroin, coming out of the Red Triangle and other areas. But this morning we're going to be talking about Lebanon and what's really going on and what's really behind everything going on. Joe, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Stan. Good morning.
Why don't you pick up the story and get into your thoughts on what is really behind this. You don't really think that this whole thing has to do with three soldiers being kidnapped.
No, hardly, Dr. Stan, hardly. You know, after our discussion last week, and in light of all this bombing going over in Lebanon and Israel at the present time, I went back and over the weekend I took a look at this paper that had been written by a number of the top U.S. decision makers over the past 3-4 years. Actually, it was written by about eight, I guess you'd call them probably all neocons, but numbering among them was Richard Perle and Douglas Feith and Wormser, all of which were top U.S. officials.
Was Wolfowitz there, too?
No, he was not enlisted as a contributor.
Okay.
Just these eight people.
Okay.
And the paper is very curious. It's a talking about not knowing what to believe here, but it's called A Clean Break, A New Strategy for Securing the Realm. It was written in 1996, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
It's particularly interesting because it's hard to determine from this short paper that's on the Internet, which is about 4.5 pages long, precisely what the purpose of the whole paper was. One has to really infer that from the title and from a few sentences, where apparently the paper was based on a mere discussion of these eight neocons who were asked to evidently talk on the subject of a change in policy.
Towards Israel, this would be...
yes.
Would this be Israel's policy or American policy?
This is a change in Israel's policy that they were really writing a paper advocated should take place in the year 2000 and be spearheaded by Netanyahu, with which most of these people on the that were part of the discussion were very well acquainted and good friends, as a matter of fact. One of the things that really struck me amazing about it is here you have a paper which is supposedly to change policy, and it's evidently put together following a brief discussion by these eight neocons, who are described as prominent opinion makers. It doesn't claim to have any real academic muscle behind it or any real analysis. And indeed, one of the things that struck me over the year is the more people use strategy in the title, the closer one should look at it, because generally it doesn't have much to do with strategy. And that is certainly the case in this paper. You know, the subtitle is A New Strategy for Securing the Realm. Well, there's really nothing about strategy in the paper. It's really just policy. They're just sort of arguing on policy, and there the main point is they're not interested in the previous policy, which was peace. Really, I'd say their main interest was in a strong aggressive stance and in preempting rather than retaliating, and of always having a good response ready to deal the enemy a swift blow.
In other words, this is a policy that would be carried out by Israel on its surrounding neighbors. Would that be a fair statement?
That's true. But and one of the most interesting aspects of this paper is the manner in which they couch the problem. And there it's very clearly. And let me read this to your readers.
All right.
After we come back.
Hold on. We'll be back in just a minute to discuss this paper, A Clean Break. You can pull it down off the Internet. Clean Break. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life, and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, as well as DBCPs, THMs, and various pesticides and herbicides, and heavy metal ions. A set of four PF4 filters are available for only $85 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Dr. Joe Douglas. We're talking about a position paper written in 1996 called A Clean Break, written by neocons for what should Israel be doing in the future. Now, you can pull this down up on the Internet, and I suggest you get it and you read it. But Dr. Douglas is going to cover this. But you have to understand what is going on in the Near East has nothing to do with three soldiers being kidnapped, but you have to tell the people of Israel something to get them behind the government. You have to tell the world something to justify your position and what you're doing, and all the people are going to die. And it's just like the Gulf of Tonkin. We had to have a Gulf of Tonkin. Of course, it really had nothing to do with Vietnam, but we had to have a reason for getting in, just as time and time again. We have to tell the American people something to justify going to war. So pick up the story there, Dr. Douglas.
I think the key words you use there, Dr. Stan, is you have to have something to tell the people, something that's acceptable to them and to tell the world. And so the problem we have in reading any of these papers is trying to figure out, okay, what do they really mean by that? Now, some of the meanings that are in this paper are crystal clear. And I think the place to start is by just quoting precisely what they say in terms of what is their beef or their goal or where they headed. Here's what it says. It says, our claim to the land, to which we have clung for hope for 2,000 years, is legitimate and noble. It is not within our power, no matter how much we concede, to make peace unilaterally. Only the unconditional acceptance by Arabs of our rights, especially in the territorial dimension, peace for peace, is a solid basis for the future. Now, this is a type of approach that is very common in the sense that the neocons are rarely concerned about the other person. About the other side to the argument, they are never wrong, the neocons. I mean, here we have their right, which they're asserting, and of course the Arabs have exactly the same right from their perspective. And that came out fairly clear in that a message from the president of Iran that you sent out to your many readers this past week. So you have two things in conflict, and it's land, and of course the real question is, well, what do they mean when they talk about land? And I would suggest that it is unlikely just the state of Israel as it existed or was brought into being in 1948 time frame, whatever, or thereabouts, but rather is what they refer to as Greater Israel, which is a much larger piece of territory and would include much of Iran and Iraq and Lebanon and Jordan, and a very extensive piece of territory. And how they are going to bring this into being is not at all clear. But the other thing that is implied in the paper very clearly is a belief that the prior policy that Israel had, which was known as a peace process, does not accomplish anything except what they say to demoralize the people and destroy their sense of nationalism, and rather what they needed to base their pursuit of land upon is a balance of power politics, which they state. One that is based on what they call it, picking up on the Reagan slogan years ago, peace through strength. So that's seems to be the only indication of where they're really headed in here, other than they intend to pursue it through a clearly military means, and in a very curious way of pursuing it through the cooperation with their neighbors. One of the key ones, of which is Lebanon, which they say, well, we want to use Lebanon because Lebanon is a good place from which to launch attacks on Syria, using proxy forces, namely Lebanese forces, pretty much as they're using U.S. forces now in Iraq. Then they're going to use also Jordan and Turkey to further bring force to bear on Syria. So it's clearly that the clean break away from the peace process is headed toward a very large war involving Lebanon, Turkey, Jordan, and Syria, and all of which, of course, everybody is working with Israel, except, of course, Syria, which I find also very curious. They seem to assume that that Lebanon and Turkey and Jordan are going to join forces with Israel, which might be a reasonable assumption if those countries saw that the only way to avoid being destroyed by all sorts of modern new munitions that the United States provides to Israel, that that might be the only way to sort of try and avoid that damage that has now been inflicted upon Lebanon.
And really what's happening in Lebanon is just, you know, you can talk about the Hezbollah rockets, but remember, the reason that Hezbollah is free to fire rockets is because they were kept under control when Syria occupied Lebanon. And we forced Syria to withdraw from Lebanon, and then, of course, that set Hezbollah free to begin launching the rockets. Why were we so intent upon getting Syria out of Lebanon when they were keeping Hezbollah, you know, in control? Doesn't make sense. But so much of what goes on today doesn't make sense if you look at it logically.
No, and it's very much like the problem posed by Rumsfeld at the second meeting of the NSC at the beginning of the Bush regime, when they were talking about the need to go to war against Iraq. And Rumsfeld said, well, we can do that, but only if we have a provocation that would justify it.
And, of course, that's described in Paul O'Neill's excellent book, The Price of Loyalty, Paul O'Neill being the Secretary of the Treasury, attending these meetings with Rumsfeld and Cheney and Wolfowitz in January and February of 2001, and being amazed that they're talking long before 9/11 about the importance of going to war with Iraq, and, of course, how they're going to divide up the oil, but even more, how we are going to get the American people to go along with a preemptive attack on Iraq. I mean, how are we going to get the American people to go for it? Well, gee, it was very, very convenient that those wicked terrorists carried out that attack on 9/11, because if it hadn't been for that, the American people would never have gone for a war in the Middle East. But now we had a provocation because of whatever happened on 9/11, but we really don't know because the government will not allow an independent investigation. And you have to ask yourself, why won't they allow an independent investigation? And why did they insist on censoring both the Senate Intelligence, House Intelligence Committee report that came out in 2003 and the 9/11 Commission report that came out in 2004? If they had nothing to conceal, why did they insist on censoring those reports and object to those investigations? And yet it was 9/11 that somehow then justified the preemptive attack that they were talking about in January and February of 2001. The book, again, Paul O'Neill's The Price of Loyalty, Paul O'Neill, the Secretary of the Treasury at the time, an amazing book. Wasn't that amazing, Joe?
That was exceeded only by the amazement of the 9-1-1 Commission report that ignored it totally when it identified the reason for the invasion so clearly in it.
Right.
You know, another thing similar to that that struck me as just very, very interesting on looking at this current battle is it's very clear, number one, that for, it seems that for 6 years, that Hezbollah has been moving military equipment, rockets, Katusha launchers, all that type of thing, into Lebanon. That is used as the justification for Israel being so well prepared to move so quickly when they did, because as they have stated very clearly, is that they have watched all these munitions being moved into Lebanon over the past 6 years, and therefore they have done their best to assemble a response, if you will, and be ready to do that whenever they desired. Now, the thing that struck me is, well, if you're interested in a peace process and you see the other side starting to build up something like that, then why don't you go public? Why don't you tell the world what is happening there so that for 6 years you have people around the world who can focus their attention on Israel and Lebanon and say you shouldn't be moving all these munitions in because that upsets the spirit of the peace that's going on. But I haven't heard anything. I don't know. Did you remember hearing any screams about the supply of munitions coming into Hezbollah or even the supply of things coming into Israel from the United States?
Absolutely not. And the thing is that they cannot tell the people of Israel. They cannot tell the people of the United States. They can't tell the people of Europe and certainly of the Near East and the Middle East that all of this is planned long ago as if there is a master script that's being followed. And because now we have to have a justification. Oh, we've got to go to war because three soldiers were certainly kidnapped. And then, of course, well, the secondary one was because Hezbollah is sending rockets on into Israel. And the other, of course, you know, with the satellite, we have satellite technology and Israel has satellite technology. They know exactly where those rockets are. They can pinpoint them. And with the pinpoint accuracy of our laser and satellite-guided bombs, which we're giving to Israel, they can pick out those areas and destroy them if they really wanted to.
That's absolutely correct.
Do they really want to do that, or do they want an excuse for the invasion?
Yeah, and so long as they're going to let it all happen and not say a word about it, there's only one justification for that, and that's that you want the power to be built up there so that you can unleash your own power. The only reasons you would do that. If you were interested in any sense in peace, you would have made what was happening very public. You would have screamed loud and clear. You would have presented all sorts of data, such as President Kennedy did to the UN Security Council on the buildup of material in Cuba that everybody remembers from 1961. You would have taken that type of a course. But when you keep silent about things, when you suppress all the information under a veil of secrecy, it's because you want it to happen. And that's the only clue that comes out here is they want it to happen so that they can use that as an excuse to unleash a devastating barrage on Lebanon.
And which they really have, and now, of course, there's going to be a so-called 48-hour succession of air attacks, but not of ground attacks. And, of course, the ground attacks are equally lethal. Well, probably not anywhere near as lethal as the air attacks. But, I mean, nothing as it appears to be. This is the problem that I see.
Yeah. You know, it's another example of what is happening here goes back to Iraq about 15 years ago or so when we became concerned about the efforts to supply Iraq with chemical warfare capabilities and building up nuclear capabilities. Back before the 91 Gulf War, I believe, what we were concerned about was all the assistance that was coming from all the European and Far Eastern countries. And the United States started talking in secret with various countries trying to get their support to stop this flow of material. And, of course, everybody said, well, they don't have any control over it. And for once, we did the right thing. We went public, and we started naming the various companies from Scotland to England to some in the United States to Germany, a big majority of them, to France, to Italy, to Japan, as I recall.
Wasn't Russia involved as well?
I believe so. And instantly, almost, all the countries, companies ran for cover, and the shipment stopped. And it struck me that right at that time, you know, the reason we have these problems is that people keep secret about them because they want them to happen. And when they really don't want them to happen, they go public with it. Another example of the same type of process was back in the 1981 time frame when there was a great concern that Russia would invade Poland.
We're going to be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Center. Dr. Joe Douglas here at the American Freedom Center.
West 11th Street in Greeley says, do you have a record of your child's fingerprints? Although fingerprinting at birth is common in many hospitals, it is not required by law in all states. Ask your local police department if they have a free fingerprinting program for children. That's courtesy of the certified public accounting firm of Hoover & Harris. CPAs playing a vital and integral role in our community's growth and development for over 40 years. They say our area is a great place to live, work, shop, and raise our children. Hoover & Harris CPAs on the air because they care. Wishing all a safe and happy Labor Day and back to school season.
Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply has something new. We have the finest in gun safes and new and used guns and reloading supplies. Now we have a new state-of-the-art gun range. Yes, for pistols and rifles, a beautiful well-lit 25-yard range with automatic retrieval. With a state-of-the-art ventilation systems. Yes, you can try it before you buy it. We have gun rentals and instructors can be arranged. That's the new Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply and Gun Range. 970-221-5133. 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry. Private instructors welcome.
16 of 16 terminally ill cancer patients fully recovered during a 1934 study sponsored by Dr. Milbank Johnson and the University of Southern California using Dr. Royal Rife's frequency generator. Rife invented the world's most powerful optical microscope capable of seeing a living virus. With it, he isolated bacteria and viruses that cause many diseases, such as asthma, allergies, arthritis, bronchitis, colitis, diabetes, Epstein-Barr, fibromyalgia, herpes, lupus, migraines, shingles, staph, strep, psoriasis, and more. Rife then found the frequencies that would destroy many viruses and bacteria. Doctors used Rife's instrument in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s and reported very high success rates. To receive the historic one-hour documentary about Dr. Royal Raymond Rife's lifelong quest to eliminate disease, call 1-888-486-4420. Call now for the free video and brochure about Rife's amazing discoveries. Call 1-888-486-4420 now.
They fight for freedom and justice, battling the most notorious evil villains the world has ever known.
My baby! Save him!
From far-off galaxies to the depths of the Earth, they face unspeakable foes that no one else dare. Banded together under one name, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, The Flash, and Green Lantern are the Justice League to help launch the 45th anniversary celebration of Six Flags, the biggest and best year that Six Flags has ever had. Don't miss the Island Kingdom Water Park with more than 11 great wet and wild rides and attractions, the new Daily Bugs Bunny Parade Spectacular, the all-new Carnival de Fuego Fireworks Show, and the amazing Aquabats. These amazing shows and rides, a trip to Six Flags Elitch Gardens is the most out-of-this-universe fun your family can get in one non-stop action-packed day. Plus, meet and thank all of your favorite members of the Justice League for ridding the world of evildoers.
Curse you, Justice League!
Get your discount tickets at SixFlags.com. Six Flags Elitch Gardens. More than a theme park, it's an experience.
Back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Dr. Joe Douglas, and we're talking about the tragic events that are being played out in the Near East today with the full help and support of the American government, because certainly we are providing large supplies of laser and satellite-guided bombs and other weapons to the Israelis, and we're shipping them right at the very moment. They've exhausted so much of their own supplies, so we're supplying them. And then on the other hand, Iran is supplying Hezbollah, and of course supplies are coming in for Hezbollah, and somebody has to finance Hezbollah. I mean, you don't keep a paramilitary organization, a large, effective paramilitary organization, going for many years without side funding and support, not only for military weapons, but just to finance these people. And Hezbollah has had a very effective program in Lebanon, certainly providing hospitals and social services to the people. Who's putting up the money? Why, Iran. And who brought this Iranian government to power? The American CIA back in 1979. Nothing is it appears to be. I mean, Iran is getting some of its sophisticated weapons, at least the technology for the sophisticated weapons from China. And where is China getting all the technology for sophisticated weapons? Why, from the United States. Don't you remember when Bill Clinton gave the secrets for our most carefully kept, highly secret programs, how you would verve missiles and how you would direct missiles, and you'd get them to be able to hit exactly on target. And Bill Clinton gave that technology to Communist China, supposedly for a couple $100,000 in campaign contributions. And if you believe that, you believe that the war in the Near East has to do with the kidnapping of three soldiers. That's what they tell you, but behind the scenes, there are powerful forces working that I believe have an entirely different agenda. So pick up the story there, Dr. Douglas.
Absolutely true, Dr. Stan, and particularly this help of the United States in munitions and particularly intelligence extends right on back to the same buildup of the Hezbollah in Lebanon. In other words, it was not just Israel maintaining silence about it and waiting for the right moment. The United States was part and parcel to the operation. With their intelligence means and our intelligence means, the two operated together. They had an absolutely accurate picture, maybe a few bumps and scratches here and there that they didn't notice, but for the most part, they knew precisely what was happening in Lebanon and the buildup, and both of them, in agreement, maintained a silence, and nobody spoke out strongly against it, which is also supported also by the fact that once the barrage started, you had a few perfunctory comments on, well, it's a shame what's happening to all the people. But in general, the United States position has been as supportive of Israel as it could possibly be without running an undue risk of alienating all the Arab countries. But, of course, what they were doing is fairly crystal clear anyways. So you wonder why they bother trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. And, of course, what they're trying to do is pull the wool over not the Arab eyes, but the eyes of the United States people.
Amen to that. And, of course, I think the Arab countries, I think Saudi Arabia and Jordan and all of the countries here in the Near and Middle East are frightened to death at the implications of this war in the Near East for fear that, you know, it'll expand to something larger and bring pressure on their governments.
That's right. And I start mentioning another example of what is happening here, going back to a time that I suspect many readers will recall, many of your listeners, and that was back in the early 80s, the late 70s, when there was a concern over the growing democratization in Poland. And the big concern which people focused on was the movement of Soviet troops into the area and all the possibilities for the Soviet Union to invade Poland in the same sense that they invaded Hungary in 1956 and Czechoslovakia in 1968. And so with those two examples in people's mind, everything that we were hearing was focused on the Soviet Union is going to invade Poland because of all the movements of the supply and the people, and everybody should watch out because the Soviet Union is going to instigate this attack. And at the time, there was no invasion. Things calmed down, and what struck me later is the reason that there was no war at that time, no invasion, was precisely because the attention of the world and the media was focused on the fact that it was about to happen. And so they did not invade. It would have been too embarrassing. And, of course, again, coming back to the current day, why did Israel and the United States maintain a complete silence, notwithstanding the movement of thousands, tens of thousands of rockets and thousands of Katusha launchers and larger rockets and people, Hezbollah, all in military garb, not, you know, terrorists that were melting in to the, with the people so that you couldn't tell who was who. Why did they remain silent about this for 6 years? Why weren't they screaming their heads off? Answer is obvious. Because they wanted it. They wanted the provocation to justify a massive response to destroy Israel, to teach them all a lesson. And they did that at the most opportune time, particularly through this abduction, as you mentioned, of these three soldiers, which hardly justifies a war like that.
Well, you know, one of the other things that bothers me, and I don't know how you feel about this, but we have been following, you know, this whole story of Saddam Hussein and his chemical and biological weapons. And if you go up on Google and you just put in, Saddam Hussein, weapons of mass destruction in Syria, I mean, there are literally thousands of entries there about the fact that Saddam's weapons of mass destruction were taken to Syria. And we've gotten this from at least half a dozen, what I believe are very reliable sources, feeling that if Saddam moved his weapons out of Iraq so there'd be no justification for attacking them, but they were stored in Syria. Have you ever heard that story? Do you think there's any credence to it?
I've heard it, but I've never seen any proof of it.
But if those are actually there, I mean, the question is, why doesn't our government, why didn't the Bush administration, pick up on it? Maybe they were moved out of the country. Why didn't they say, maybe he moved them out of the country? That's why we can't find them. Unless they were put there for a specific reason. I was told by Dory Gold, who was the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, and by Joel Skousen, by Avi Lipkin, who's got ties to Israeli intelligence, and three or four other, what I believe are very reliable people, that, you know, that those weapons are somewhere stored, if that is indeed true. I have to ask why the administration, the American administration, which is certainly a lot smarter than I am, would never even suggest that as a possibility unless those weapons are going to be used perhaps sometime in the not-too-distant future to justify expanding the war in the Near East. I just throw that out as a conjecture. Certainly many of our listeners can go up on the Internet and Google in Saddam, weapons of mass destruction, Syria, and you will find literally thousands of references to it. Why doesn't George Bush ever say, hey, maybe the reason we couldn't find the weapons is they moved them into Syria. Or what else are they concealing from American people today? We'll be right back here at the American Freedom Network.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network.
Hi, I'm Ann Johnson, owner of Brightside Health Food Store. I believe my ministry is to help heal the sick and that God is allowing me to reach people through superior products. StressX has over 45 years of research by 1,200 scientists and 3,300 studies. StressX has proven itself superior when compared to other products and passes all requirements for Olympic athletes. Call me at 303-833-2784 to find out how StressX boosts your energy, improves performance, increases endurance, and provides greater mental alertness. That's 303-833-2784.
Find out how BioSuperfood has helped thousands of people everywhere, providing health benefits for heart disease, cancer, diabetes, fibromyalgia, liver disorders, osteoarthritis, glaucoma, depression, allergies, nervous system disorders, and much more. BioSuperfood is making an impact on how people everywhere approach health and nutrition. Join Dr. Roland Thomas every second Friday at 2 p.m. on the Danette Daniels Show, KHNC 1360 AM.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stock certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice vice president for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I think that everyone wants the war in the Near East to end. And I think that we can only hope and pray that this 48-hour cessation of air attacks will, of course, bring some sort of a peaceful solution. And I think it'll probably, if there is a peaceful solution, it'll involve, you know, some sort of a military force occupying southern Lebanon and bringing Hezbollah into control so that they cannot, continue their rocket attacks on Israel. Israel can't exist with constant rocket attacks any more than Lebanon can exist with the situation that we have there. But because they had a weak Lebanese government, why Hezbollah was able to act as an independent militia? Probably Hezbollah was far stronger military than the Lebanese government. And so what are your thoughts about what's going to happen, Joe?
Stan, you know, in this, the way in which this weapons of mass destruction is used, there's a point here that I'd like to raise that most of your listeners probably aren't aware of, but you will be very much aware of it. One of the main reasons that WMD are toted as much as they are, since it certainly isn't their actual presence or intelligence on their presence, is really because what it does is it creates fear and anxiety, particularly in the minds of Americans, but other people as well. Now, the key to this is this anxiety which is created in the mind, because when you are anxious, you lose the ability to think rationally, to reason. The anxiety just dominates the brain, and you can't really think rationally or reasonably until you calm down, put the anxiety aside, and address the issues. So when you're toting weapons of mass destruction every 5 minutes on the newscasts and in the papers and with everybody in the administration talking out about new pieces of evidence and data as they did in the advance of the Iraq war, what you're doing is you're making it so that the public really aren't thinking about what you're saying, aren't thinking about whether these things are valid or not, because they're so overcome by the anxiety and the emotionalism of the process. So you have emotions determining what happens, not common sense or logic or reason. And I think this is one of the main reasons, of course, for bringing up the WMD, because it takes you into an emotional context rather than into a rational context. Of course, in anticipation of the war in Iraq, where we had all this a fuss over weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that were never found, and nobody's ever even suggested with data that here is where it was put into Syria, we didn't hear very much then on Iran. And now, after that is calmed down and is put to bed, all of a sudden the building force in Iran gets all the publicity. Now, it may be something that we don't like, but there, and there may be a lot more evidence behind it. Whether that's the case or how much, I don't know. But as you point out in one of your recent newsletters, is this really something we're to worry about this year? Or is it maybe something that, well, we better reassess it in 5 years, because nobody thinks they can have anything doable really in 5 to 10 years anyways, which was the case with Iraq, too. So again, you're using the raising of the WMD to justify other actions. When without it, you wouldn't have that justification there.
And of course, I think you're absolutely right. I think that they are manipulating our minds. They're creating our fears. They're molding everything about what we believe. And you're absolutely right. People will act irrationally. People will give up their freedom in the name of protecting us from a supposed threat, which would be the wicked Osama bin Laden in a cave. That's why we got to give up our freedom and expand the police state controls here. And I think ultimately there will be a drive to get the American people to be willing to give up their sovereignty in an effort to get back to the way things were before. Unfortunately, if we give up our sovereignty, we will never regain the life that we had before. And I think that they know how to manipulate us, and that's what's so frightening. And we are being manipulated at every turn by the mass media, which does not report the news. It is utilized to influence our reality and create a false reality, as we've seen, and I think Dr. Douglas brought out so clearly. Why wasn't anybody talking about the massive buildup of Hezbollah before this recent debacle?
In the same sense, this war on terrorism is ideal when you stop to think about it, because what we have done has been put on a war footing in our minds for a war that will never end. Nobody in the administration ever claimed this war would end in 5 years or 10 years. Rather, they say it's going to go on for generations, even indefinitely. And to understand the beauty of that, you have to go back to, or a good place to go back to, is the minutes of the Carnegie Foundation, which were gone through by people of the Reese Committee when they did an investigation back in 1954. And what they found out is that in trying to figure out how to bring about changes in America, particularly to change it from a democratic republic to a case of a socialized democracy or democratic socialism, which is the forerunner of communism, is what they wanted was a war, because one could never accomplish changes, social changes, as quickly in peacetime as you could during war. So much less propaganda was required, and the people were willing to accept these things. And this is why that the officials in the Carnegie Foundation then not only encouraged our entry into World War One, but then actually wrote President Wilson asking him to make sure that the war didn't end too quickly. And of course, one of the main changes that took place in World War One and in the American perception of what was happening was this whole idea of keeping the world safe for democracy. And that's a beautiful idea, because it's one thing that the founders certainly had in mind, which was to avoid giving the United States a democracy. They wanted a republic.
And, of course, the First World War was fought to war to end all wars. You've got to have a slogan for the masses. Dr. Douglas, thanks so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure having you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan. Look forward to it in the future. Bye now.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silverbiotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silverbiotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silverbiotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at Denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, apropos of what Dr. Douglas was saying about the knowing about what's going to happen, but not telling the American people. If you've not seen the video, Jihad in America by Stephen Emerson, you need to see it. It's already very, very well done. And basically, it shows that the American intelligence knew all about the radical Islamic movement in 1988. Abdul Azzam, the leader of Al-Qaeda, was speaking in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And there, and I think that these are probably FBI films because they were filming him and what he was saying, and they knew he was planning on violence here in America. In 1989, after Azzam has been killed by one of the other followers speaking here in America, and they have pictures of the Islamic terrorist training camps in 1989 and 1990 in upstate New York where they're using automatic weapons, and the same people were involved in the attack on the first attack on the World Trade Center in 1993, being photographed by our government. But we couldn't let the American people know that. And when this film was first released in 1994, why, orders were put out. It was never to be shown again. And because the intelligence communities have so much power, why, it was never shown again until after 2001. You need to see it. You need to know what they knew. You'll hear agents of the FBI talking on the film, but they couldn't let the American people know any more than they can let the American people know what the next steps are in the Near East and in the Mideast. And, ladies and gentlemen, we are on the edge of something very big. Hope and pray that these hostilities will stop now. But if they do, there's still plans, of course, for other things going on. We still have the supposed threat of Iran. Oh, my goodness, the Iranians are going to attack us at any time. Or was it Saddam Hussein who was going to attack us? Or is it Osama bin Laden? Well, we want you to know that you're in terrible danger. You are in terrible danger. You've just got to give more power to the government. And if you want to understand how this whole thing came about, we have a great book. It's called The Devil's Game, showing how British intelligence and then American intelligence created this whole radical Islamic movement. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. That is Jihad in America, the book, The Devil's Game. And, of course, you probably should get the book, See No Evil, as well, written by Robert Byrd, who was the prototype for the CIA official that George Clooney plays in the film Syrianum. And, of course, the film is based upon the book See No Evil. And you'll find out that the government knew ahead of time about the bombing of the Marine barracks and the embassy in Beirut in 1983 and didn't try to stop it. Why would you do anything that stupid unintentionally? And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we don't make stupid simple stupid mistakes or complex stupid mistakes. They know exactly what they're doing. You really need to get the three pamphlets we've put together, and it's about 40 pages, called Foreknowledge 911. It's the best thing out there on what happened as far as the Islamic attack. Incidentally, I watched over the weekend Alex Jones' a program that he put on in Los Angeles about a month ago. And Alex was saying that he had actually talked to one of the officers at the Monterey Bay Language School, who after 911 had come out and said this was a government operation. And what the man told him was three of the hijackers had attended the Defense Language School in Monterey. They were working for our government. And, of course, three of them more were trained in Pensacola, and six of them are still alive and well in the Middle East. They've been lied to. And number one, pray for America. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
The American Freedom Network has a growing list of videos available. We like to show people the good things about life in America. These videos depict great events, inspirational music, and very special people. If you couldn't be here to see them live, call 1-800-205-6245 for title and price information. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.